जय राधा माधव जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जनावल्लभ गिरीवरधारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुनातीरा वनचारी यमुनातीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र शत श्री श्रीमद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र शत श्री श्रीमद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की जाय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जाय। ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भागवतम की जाय। निताई गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय कंटिन्यूइंग आवर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 11 Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwarka, text number 26. Shriyo Nivaso Yasyoraha Panapatram Mukham Drisham Bahavo Lokapalanam सारंगाणाम पदाम्बुजम् श्रियो निवासो यस्यो रह पानपात्रम् मुखम् दृशाम् बाहवो लोकपालानाम् सारंगाणाम पदाम्बुजम् श्रियो निवासो यस्यो रह पानपात्रम् मुखम् दृशाम् बाहवो लोकपालानाम् सारंगाणाम् पदाम्बुजम् श्रियो निवासो यस्यो रह पानपात्रम् मुखम् दृशाम् बाहवो लोकपालानाम् सारंगाणाम् पदाम्बुजम्
पानपात्रम् मुखम्
माताजी word meaning Shriya of the goddess of fortune, Nivasaha residential place, Yasya one whose, Uraha chest, Panapatram the drinking pot, Mukham face, Drisham of eyes, Bahavah the arms, Lokapalanam of the administrative demigods, Saranganam of the devotees who talk and sing of the essence or substance, Padambujam, the lotus feet. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation: the Lord's chest is the abode of the goddess of fortune. His moon-like face is the drinking vessels for eyes which hanker after all that is beautiful. His arms are the resting places for the administrative demigods, and his lotus feet are the refuge of pure devotees who never talk or sing of any subject except his lordship. Purport: there are different classes of human beings, all seeking different enjoyments from different objects. There are persons who are seeking after the favor of goddess of fortune, and for them the Vedic literatures give information that the Lord is always served with all reverence by thousands and thousands of goddess of fortune at the Chintamani Dham, the transcendental abode of the Lord, where the trees are all desire trees and the buildings are made of touchstone. The Lord Govinda is engaged there in herding the Surabhi cows as his natural occupation. These goddesses of fortune can be seen automatically if we are attracted by the bodily features of the Lord. The impersonalist cannot observe such goddesses of fortune because of their dry speculative habit, and those who are artists overtaken by the beautiful creation should better see to the beautiful face of the Lord for complete satisfaction. The face of the Lord is the embodiment of beauty. What they call beautiful nature is but His smile, and what they call the sweet songs of the birds are but specimens of the whispering voice of the Lord. There are administrative demigods in charge of departmental service of cosmic management, and there are tiny administrative gods in the state service. They are always afraid of other competitors. But if they take shelter of the arms of the Lord can protect them always from the attacks of enemies. A faithful servant of the Lord engaged in the service of administration is the ideal executive head and can well protect the interest of the people in general. Other so-called administrators are symbols of anachronisms leading to acute distress of the people who are governed by them. The administrators can remain safely under the protection of the arms of the Lord. The essence of everything is the Supreme Lord. He is called Saram, and those who sing and talk about Him are called the Sarangas, or the pure devotees. The pure devotees sorry. The pure devotees are always hankering after the lotus feet of the Lord. The lotus has a kind of honey which is transcendentally relished by the devotees. They are like the bees who are always after the honey. Srila Rupa Goswami, the great devotee Acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, has sung a song about this lotus honey, comparing himself to the bee. O my Lord Krishna, I beg to offer my prayers unto you. My mind is like the bee, and it is after some honey. Kindly, therefore, give my bee mind a place at your lotus feet, which are the resources for all transcendental honey. I know that even big demigods like Brahma do not see the rays of the nails of your lotus feet, even though they are engaged in deep meditation for years together. Still, O infallible one, my ambition is such, for you are very merciful to your surrendered devotees. O Madhava, I know also that I have no genuine devotion for the service of your lotus feet. But because your lordship is inconceivably powerful, you can do what is impossible to be done. Your lotus feet can deride even the nectar of heavenly kingdom, and therefore I am very much attracted by them. O Supreme Eternal, please therefore let my mind be fixed at your lotus feet, so that eternally I may be able to relish the taste of your transcendental service. The devotees are satisfied with being placed at the lotus feet of the Lord and have no ambition to see his all-beautiful face or aspire for the protection of the strong arms of the Lord. They are humble by nature, and the Lord is always leaning towards such humble devotees. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Sriyuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padayam Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So welcome all the devotees for the morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. So in this chapter, Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwarka. So far we are seeing how Lord Sri Krishna first made his presence known to the devotees in Dwarka by blowing a conch shell. And thereafter all the devotees of Dwarka, they all rush towards the public road where Lord Krishna's arrival is due. And now here in this series of verses, we see that how Lord Shri Krishna has entered into the Dwarka city, and the devotees standing on both sides of the road are now closely watching Krishna. And here is the closer view of Krishna here, where from the devotee's angle we can see how they are drinking the beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore in this verse is very beautifully mentions about Lord's chest, Lord's moon-like face, Lord's arms and his lotus feet. And now each of this beautiful limb of the Lord is a shelter for someone in this world. The arms are a shelter for the administrative demigods. The lotus feet is shelter for the devotees who don't know anything but Krishna. And the Lord's chest is a shelter of Goddess of Fortune, Lakshmi Devi. So this is how we can see when Krishna is entering Dwarka, how beautifully he is welcomed by the devotees of Dwarka. This material world is always full of separation and union, viraha and sambhog. We find that in the previous chapter, we see that Krishna has departed from Hastinapur. And in this chapter, we see Krishna entering into Dwarka. So the previous chapter, we saw devotees in Hastinapur. Don't change this. Devotees in Hastinapur, they are in separation that now Krishna was staying with us and now he is leaving us. They are crying tears of separation. On the other hand, now Krishna is coming to Dwarka. Who were crying tears of separation before, and now they are in a mood of enjoyment because now Krishna is entering into their Dwarka city. So this is material world where Krishna always gives experiences of viraha and sambhog, separation, and then when the union happens, it's very happy state of life. In a spiritual world, Krishna is always in union with his devotees. But the charm, the flavor of separation is seen in the material world. And Krishna makes that experience to his pure devotees by bringing them in the material world, and they feel separation of Krishna here. So Dwarka is a very beautiful city of Lord Shri Krishna. I was just thinking about how there is such a connection between these few days we are having, celebrating the Tithis also. Yesterday was Snan Purnima, today is Shyamananda Pandit's disappearance day. And upcoming Lord Jagannath's beautiful pastimes of Rath Yatra coming in. And there is the connection of Dwarka here, Lord Krishna's entering into Dwarka. So we find the understanding that Lord Shri Krishna, he arranges for his pure devotees to come to the material world. In fact, there is a Subhashit which mentions that Lord Krishna does not like that his pure devotees are having no miseries and they are happy in the spiritual world. So it looks like Lord Krishna is jealous about his pure devotees. But actually it's not like, it's a Vyajastuti where Lord Shri Krishna thinks they are happy here. But what about those who are rotting in the material world? What will happen to them? They are miserable. And therefore Lord Shri Krishna sends his pure devotees to experience misery of the material world. Misery of material world in terms of those who are suffering in the material world, their misery. So when the devotees come to the material world, pure devotees, and they see the miserable materialistic people, their hearts transform and they want to bring them back to the spiritual world because they know that everyone is from spiritual world and just suffering here so much. So Lord Shri Krishna, being Supreme Personality of Godhead, he does not interfere in anyone's individual freedom. But Lord Shri Krishna wants to interfere. But because he is Supreme Lord, he doesn't want to interfere. So he is in a kind of a dilemma that he wants to bring everyone back to spiritual world and yet he does not want to interfere. So what he does, when it cannot interfere as Supreme Personality of Godhead, he arranges pure devotees to go and interfere. So Lord Shri Krishna does not interfere in the personal freedom of any spirit soul in this material world. But he empowers the pure devotee to go and interfere in personal free will of the people in this material world and divert them to Krishna's lotus feet. And that's what we see in the leelas of Krishna. Krishna plays a neutral role when it comes to the free will of the devotee, of a person in this material world, a non-devotee, a conditioned soul. But then a pure devotee, like the great acharyas, they come and they turn the attention of people to the lotus feet of Krishna. And that's why sometimes we see that the devotees of Krishna are much more successful in preaching than Krishna himself. Why? Because it is not like the devotees have become powerful than the Lord. It is Krishna who is empowering them to be powerful and engaging in the service of interfering in the freedom of the spirit soul and diverting them to the lotus feet of Krishna. So Lord Shri Krishna, he comes in this material world again and again, and he sends his pure devotees in the material world with the whole and soul act of reclaiming the conditioned souls back. Sambhavami yuge yuge. He comes millennium after millennium, and sometimes more often he comes through the agency of his pure devotees. So, in this particular verse we see Krishna is entering into Dwarka, and the devotees of Krishna are drinking the beauty of Krishna's lotus face and Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna's lotus feet is compared to a nectar, a flower bearing nectar, a lotus which has nectar. Just like the bee is attracted to the lotus flower and sucks the nectar from the lotus flower. And there is unlimited nectar in the lotus flower, so the bee is getting engrossed in sucking the nectar of the lotus. Similarly, Rupa Goswami in his purport mentions that, let my mind be attracted to Krishna's lotus feet and suck the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet. Ekono bhujino prabhu tomara charana. So all great devotees take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. I was hearing one lecture, and a devotee was mentioning that when we take darshan of Supreme Personality of Godhead's deity form, then we take darshan first of the lotus feet, and then we go and rise above and come to the lotus face. So we like to see the beautiful face of the Lord, charming, beautiful turban, smile. Then why the acharyas are emphasizing more on the lotus feet than the lotus face? What is the reason? Because we may drink the beauty of the lotus face of the Lord, but because of our conditioned nature, we are not yet fully enamored by the beauty of the Lord to drink His beauty for 24 hours. But when we see at the lotus feet of the Lord, at the lotus feet of the Lord, there are great acharyas sitting there. So they are also watching. This guy has come, and for a few moments he is relishing the beauty of the Lord. But then he will go away and forget the beauty of the Lord. So when you focus on the lotus feet of the Lord, we are being glanced by those acharyas sitting in the lotus feet, and they are glancing on us so that they can change our free will, and then we keep coming here regularly and drink the beauty of the whole form of the Lord. So for a conditioned soul, while lotus face is important, but the most important is Krishna's lotus feet. So in this particular verses which we are reading, we are seeing how Krishna's beauty is described. And we are also singing Jagannath Ashtakam, where Krishna's beautiful, Krishna's beauty as Jagannath is described. Krishna's eyes are round, big. Like once Gaur Gopal was mentioning one of his classes, why Krishna's eyes as Jagannath are round and big? Sometimes Krishna's eyes in some deity form are closed. Like in Srinaji's form, we see Krishna's eyes are closed, half closed, not much open. Gopinath's eyes are open, but Jagannath's eyes are elated, big open. The reason is, Lord Jagannath is watching all his devotees and is trying to find one good quality in them, in the ocean of bad qualities. And with that good quality, Krishna wants to reciprocate with that one small quality. So Krishna, as Jagannath, is looking for one good quality in everyone's life. So, the beauty of Krishna, as mentioned in this verse, has been sung in so many scriptures, in so many Puranas. The Bhagavatam describes elaborately the beauty of Krishna. Every time a Supreme Personality of Godhead or His incarnation arrives at a place or appears at a place, there are verses glorifying Krishna's beauty. In fact, it is said that Krishna does not require an ornament. His beauty itself is an ornament on his body. When the ornaments are put on Krishna's lotus body, the ornaments get glorified, not Krishna. So we find in scripture so many places the beauty of Krishna, beauty of Krishna's reciprocation with his devotees are all described. Let us enter into one such pastime which happened in Dwarka. We are all in Dwarka relishing Krishna's beauty in his verse. Now we'll go to again Dwarka with one pastime where Krishna's beauty has been described very elaborately. So this is when Krishna is in the quarters of Rukmini Devi and Krishna is resting in the night time. So Krishna is resting in the night time. Without Krishna's knowledge, Krishna is chanting the names of devotees of Braj. And Rukmini Devi is sleeping next to Krishna. So Rukmini Devi is like she gets up from the sleep because Krishna is speaking something in the night while been sleeping. And Krishna starts saying, Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Baba, Yashoda Mata. And then he shouts loudly, Hey Radhika, Hey Radhika, Hey Lalita, Hey Vishaka, Hey Subal, Hey Shridama. And Rukmini Devi is thinking, these people are not there in Dwarka, never heard their names. Who are these people? So the morning Krishna wakes up, and the first thing Rukmini asks is, who is Nanda Baba? Who is Yashoda? And who is this Radhika whose name is chanted so loudly? And Krishna says, well, I will tell you later. Now I am getting late. I have to go to Sudharma assembly. People are waiting for me. And Rukmini says, no, you have to tell me. Because I am intrigued. I am here, Rukmini, one of your principal queens. And you are there with me. And everyone knows that I really take care of you nicely. I am your very devoted wife. And yet in my presence, you are thinking and remembering someone else. Who these devotees are? So Lord Krishna knows now. Rukmini wants to know immediately. So Krishna says, well, in the evening, I'm going to come back. And I'll narrate the whole thing. Aram se, nicely. But Rukmini says, no, to hell with your Sudharma assembly. I need to know who is this, who are these personalities. Then Krishna just says, well, these devotees are devotees of Vrindavan. And by the way, I'm getting late. So you go to Rohini Mata. She also stayed in Vrindavan. She will describe to you all the beautiful pastimes of Vrindavan, of mine with all these devotees. And Krishna immediately goes, takes bath and leaves to the Dharma assembly. Now Rukmini is also getting very much anticipation. And she goes to Rukmini and says, tell me about Vrindavan. And Rukmini says, oh, wait, what happened? And she narrates that how in the night time Krishna often speaks about his devotees. I want to know what is that which attracts Krishna to Vrindavan. In the night time he is chanting all his devotees' names. So Rukmini they start speaking about Krishna's Braja Leela. She mentions the beauty of Krishna in Vrindavan. She says that Krishna wears a beautiful peacock feather on his elegantly dressed turban cloth, which Yashoda Mai ties on his head. Krishna is carrying a flute. Krishna wears a pitambar vesh dhoti. Krishna is having beautiful Vaijanti mala. And Krishna is wearing stones of different stones, colorful stones from Vrindavan. And Krishna is walking, herding his cows. And then Rukmini, Rohini Mata stops. Rukmini, what happened? She said, well, I can't continue because if I continue, Krishna will come here. And if Krishna hears Vrindavan's stories, then Krishna may go to Vrindavan and you lose Krishna. So Rukmini says, what to do? Then let's go to a very secret place where Krishna will not come. So Rukmini arranges a very secret place within her palace, somewhere in the basement. And then Rukmini starts thinking, why only me? Let me call all the co-queens, all the co-wives of Krishna, and let them all come. So everyone is invited, all the queens of Dwarka are invited to this place. And everyone assembles, and Rukmini and Rohini is about to speak the glories to all these queens of Dwarka. And Rohini says, well, I have heard from Narad Muni, Yatra Gayanti Madhbhakta, Tatra Tishthami Narada. Narada is told that wherever Krishna's glories are sung, Krishna is there. So I am fearing that he may run from Sudharma assembly and come to this place. So we need to guard and safeguard this place. What should we do? Now all the queens of Dwarka want to hear the lecture, right? Said, abhi ye kaam kon karega? Who will do this guarding place? Because guarding means you have to stand a little far away, right? So they see around each other and see there is one person a little odd. That is Subhadra, sister of Krishna. Said, well, can you go and guard the place? Because you may not have direct connection in terms of what was the reason why we are asking Rohini to narrate this story. Now, Subhadra Mata agrees and she goes on the door and she is very carefully hearing even though she is on the door. And meanwhile, Rohini is narrating the whole pastime of Vrindavan in detail, as if it's going to be a never-ending story. Now, yatra gayanti mad bhakta tatra tishtami narada. So Krishna has said this, so Krishna proves that he will do it. So Krishna is feeling little agitated, little uneasy in Sudaram assembly, because there is such a nice, beautiful Vrajlila going on in Dwarka, one of the palaces. So Krishna is wanting to now escape. How to escape? Alone if he goes, then what will happen? Then everyone asks, why are you going, Krishna? So Krishna goes and sits near Balaram. And while the assembly things are going on, he tells Balaram, do you know there is something special going on in Rukmini's palace? Rohini is narrating Braj Leela. So why don't we both go? That will be helpful. So I will not be pointed out, you know, that you are going alone. So Balaramji makes an excuse with all the assembly people, and Krishna and Balaram rush to Rukmini's palace. So meanwhile, Rukmini Devi, she is not interested in seeing behind if Krishna is coming or not. She is interested in hearing. So what she does is she starts guarding by putting both her hands on the door, and she spreads her legs on both the sides of the door. And now she is like a guard standing. No one can come inside. But she is engrossed hearing the Braj Leela. Now Krishna comes in and then he taps Subhadra. But she is so engrossed, she cannot see. So Krishna now, they don't have place. So Krishna peeps from here, this side, and Balaram peeps from this side. Without Subhadra knowing, now they start hearing the beautiful pastimes of Braj from Rohini Mata. And at that time, Subhadra goes deep into ecstasy absorption, Krishna goes into absorption, Balaram goes into absorption, there is a transformation in their bodily features, and lo and behold, the beautiful form of something amazing, wonderful, no one had ever seen, manifest there on the doorsteps of Rukmini's palace. That is Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra in between. Now no one is watching that form. All the queens of Dwarka are busy hearing from Rohini. But Narad Muni is going around. See, Narad Muni keeps coming in Dwarka. Why? Because Dwarka is a happening place. Krishna is in Dwarka. So Narad Muni, in Bhagavatam, we see one chapter where Dwarka, Narad Muni is coming and is going to various palaces of Krishna. But actually, Shastra mentions that Narad Muni would always find some reason to come to Dwarka. And many times Krishna had to send Narad Muni away from Dwarka with some mission, jao there. But then he will complete the mission, again come back, because Krishna was there and it was a happening place. So Narad Muni comes there and then he sees this beautiful form of Krishna, Balaram and Subhadra fully absorbed, their hands are shrunken inside, the legs have gone inside. And Narad Muni loudly shouts, I have seen, I have seen, I have seen. As soon as Narad Muni shouts, I have seen, and starts glorifying Krishna, the kirtan starts, and because of the kirtan, Balaram, Krishna and Subhadra come back to the natural, unique form of a Supreme Personality of Godheads. So now, Narad Muni says, I have seen, no one has seen, but I have seen. Krishna, tell me, what is this unique form? And whatever I have seen, I want everyone else to see. So this is a pure devotee, he doesn't keep anything for himself, he wants to share with the whole world. So, Lord Krishna says, well, you have seen a very beautiful, unique form. I will descend in this very same form, in this material world, soon as Lord Jagannath in Nilachal Dham, Niladri. And then I will bestow my darshan to each and every person and give a mercy. This is the most merciful form, the deity form of the Lord. And through this form, I will be able to reciprocate with all kinds of people who come to see me, pure devotees, mixed devotees, non-devotees, everyone will come and get reciprocation from my form. So in this way, we see that how this beautiful form of Lord Jagannath came into picture, where in the palace of Rukmini Devi, Rohini Mata was narrating the beauty of Lord in Braja, the beautiful pastimes of Lord in Braja. So Dwarka is a place where the foundation of Jagannath Puri came into picture. This is the place where Lord Jagannath's first manifestation was seen by his pure devotee Narad Muni. We find since then Dwarka has been a unique place of pilgrimage. Even today Dwarka is available to us. We don't have the whole Dwarka for us to see, but we have the beautiful Dwarkadish temple. where Lord Shri Krishna is manifesting his beautiful pastimes as a deity form, Dwarkadhish. And just in front of Dwarkadhish, we have a beautiful temple of Devaki Mata, who is overseeing all the beautiful Shringar which is happening on, and whether everything is following, everyone is offering proper bhoga to my son. And there is Rukmini temple also, and there are so many devotees in Dwarka, the beautiful temples. We have Bait Dwarka, where the queens of Dwarka were situated, their palaces were there. And we find followers of Vallabhacharya doing beautiful service there, Rukmini's palace, Satyabhama's palace, and so on and so forth. So, there are very beautiful pastimes of Lord Shri Krishna in Dwarka, where he reciprocates with his wonderful devotees. I'd like to narrate one pastime which comes in the life of Narasimha Mehta. Narasimha Mehta is one of very pure devotees of Lord Shri Krishna, Dwarkadhish. Just like we have Sant Tukaram Maharaj of Maharashtra, we have Narasimha Mehta also, very well-known saint in Gujarat. So his hometown is in Junagadh district, in the foothills of the Raivata Parvat at Damodar Kund. So Narasimha Mehta was born a very poor person. He hardly had anything for his subsistence. Like Tukaram Maharaj, very engrossed in bhajan, so hardly had any interest in occupational duties in terms of earning money. So one time, few travelers traveling from different erstwhile in Gujarat came to this place of Junagadh, and it was evening time, so they wanted to take shelter in Junagadh. So people were discussing there on the somewhere in the chowk. Sometimes we find people discussing something, you know, prajalpa or whatever. They were discussing prajalpa, they were, you know, pulling each other's leg, and they were also discussing about Narasimha Mehta and how he is such a useless person. So somehow these travelers came and said, we are come to this village and we want to know any rich person here whom we can take shelter in the night and he can also feed us. And all these people were sitting there. One of them said, yes, we have a very rich person here in this village. His name is Narasimha Mehta. You go to his house, always prasadam is available there. So they made a kind of fool these travelers. So these travelers went to Narasimha Mehta's house and said, we have come with lot of hope. We want to take rest here and get some good food. We heard that you are very charitable. So Narasimha Mehta said, who told that I am charitable? Who told that I am a rich man? He said, no, you should be a rich man, because you know, everyone is talking about your richness in the village. So Narasimha Mehta was a little unhappy that people are utilizing his name in a wrong way. But whatever he could procure that day for his family, he gave everything to those travelers to eat. And they remained hungry. Now what happened is, because they thought that he is a very rich man, they said, well, we are traveling with a lot of money in our hands. You know what, as we go ahead, this Junagadh area is full of forest. So the Gir forest. So if we travel through this, there will be many bandits or thieves who may loot our money. So why don't we keep this money? They call it in a hundi. That means sometimes a bank, no? Like we have a bank, you put your money in this bank and then you can go to travel and from there you can withdraw your money. So previously there would be saukars, landlords, and they would have different offices there, different places. We put money here and go to that place, and this landlord will give a chitti, then you go and produce that chitti in that place, and then his assistant there would give the money back to you. It's called hundi. So then he said, well, you are a very big person, so you may also have some connection in Dwarka, you know. So we will give money to you, and you give us chitti, some letter that I have given you money, and then we'll collect money from your assistant there. So, well, I don't have any money, why are you going to keep with me? Said, please don't joke me. They were like, you know, very convinced that this person is a very rich man. So, meanwhile, Narasimha Mehta was thinking, this is Krishna's arrangement that these people are coming here to give him money, even though I don't want that. Krishna has some plan, because Narasimha Mehta always wanted to feed Vaishnavas. And he was thinking in that direction, that for a long time I have not fed Vaishnavas, I don't have money. Well, Krishna is arranging his money, I'll use his money and feed all the Vaishnavas in my village. So, okay, he took the money and then he wrote a letter. To my dear Shamal Shah Seth of Dwarka, they have given me money. If possible, please give them money back in Dwarka. So this traveler saw this name, Shamal Shah. Okay, so this guy is Shamal Shah. Now Shamal Shah is no one but Krishna. Shamal is Krishna, right? Shamal Shah state. Dwarka, he is state, right? He is the state of Dwarka. So Shamal Shah state. So now these people, these travelers go through Gir forest, happy, contented, they don't have money, so no one can loot them. Finally they reach Dwarka, they get good darshan of Dwarkadhish, and now they're going to stay in Dwarka, so they need some money. And now they are searching for this Shamal Shah Seth. They go to every landlord and ask, where is Shamal Shah Seth? So we have never heard about this Shamal Shah Seth anywhere in our whole Dwarka. Well, Narsingh Mehta's, you know, assistant Shamal Shah Seth. So who is Narsingh Mehta? We don't know him also. So they were like thinking, where we can find Shamal Shah Seth? They went all over Dwarka. No one had even heard about this name. So they were thinking, maybe this guy has cheated us. So now they had no money. So they went to Dwarkadish and said, oh, Dwarkadish, what will happen to us? We have no money. How will we stay in Dwarka? Please help us. This person has cheated us. And somehow one of them told them, let us try again. So now as soon as they went out of the gate of Dwarka temple, the first person whom they saw was a very decked up, very beautiful, bluish complexion, like a Shedji sitting with a pillow. Said, well, we did not see this Shedji before, you know. Said, who are you? Said, I am Shamal Shah Seth. Oh, you are Shamal Shah Seth. So they showed the city, their letter. Oh, my master is Narsingh Mehta. He has sent you. Okay, gives the money to them. And they are very happy. And they go away back to their negro duties. Now what happens is that story is quite long. How they reached Gagad and they told Narsingh Mehta all these things. But meanwhile, what has happened is, the Shamal Shah Seth, the deity of the Lord Dwarkadish, came as Shamal Shah Seth and sat there and reciprocated with these travelers who had given money to Narsingh Mehta. So today in Dwarka, there is a temple exact at the same spot where Krishna is known as Shamal Shah Seth. And he is bedecked, the whole beautiful deity of Krishna is decked like he is like a Shedji. And even today, devotees from Dwarkadish temple, then they go to this place very close to the main doors of the gates of Dwarka temple, and they take the beautiful darshan of Shamal Shah Seth. So this is a beautiful reciprocation of how Krishna reciprocates with his devotee, and even gives chance by the arrangement of pure devotee Narsingh Mehta. Even people who are regular travelers, normal travelers, they also get darshan of Lord Krishna. So yesterday was the beautiful day of Snan Purnima, and I was talking to Haridas Thakurpu yesterday that you didn't speak about Snan Purnima. So he said, well, you can speak tomorrow. So I take the opportunity of speaking of Snan Purnima because there's a lot of connection between the Tithi today of Shamanand Pandit's disappearance and the whole pastimes of Rath Yatra of Lord Jagannath, who is none other than Lord of Dwarka. Now there's a reason, you may see that there's a beautiful Vedi, the platform, right? Where Lord Jagannath sits and takes his auspicious bath, the Snan Vedi. And Jagannath Puri temple is very, very kind of, it's not a very open space, it's very less in Jagannath temple. It's all very much crowded, a lot of people are sitting or temples are there. But within the Snan Vedi area, there's a huge space which is open. And what is the reason? So it is said that Lord Jagannath, when he comes there on the Snan Vedi, to bathe Lord Jagannath, Brahma and all the demigods come from heavenly planets. And Krishna wants that they come from so far away, they should also sit next to him and see this bathing. So Krishna arranged through his devotees to have a big Snan Vedi so where Lord Jagannath can sit and also all the demigods in disguise form can sit there and see this beautiful form of the Lord bathing. Now why the Snan Vedi is so high in the height. The reason is that Lord Jagannath, to take Lord Jagannath darshan within the temple of Lord Jagannath also is very difficult. So much of rush, there is one big door from where you have to see the Lord Jagannath, people are pushing you. So Lord comes to give darshan such a way that anyone and everyone can watch him from any distance, from any place, corner, in the middle or sideways anyways. So Jagannath is standing there, sitting there on the Snan Vedi, and giving full darshan to everyone. And therefore devotees are all happy taking darshan of Lord Jagannath there. So this is the external reason. The internal reason for why Lord Jagannath is sitting on the Snan Vedi on such a height is, Lord Jagannath, while watching over his devotees here, is also sideways watching over Sundarachal, which is the Gundicha temple, Vrindavan. Lord wants to reciprocate with gopis of Vrindavan. There is some echo coming. Lord wants to reciprocate with the gopis of Vrindavan. So Lord is now making a plan of how to reach Sundarachal. So as Snan Yatra is going out, Krishna is planning to meet the gopis. Standing there, he is watching very far away. I can see from here Gundicha temple, Sundarachal, Vrindavan, and I have to go there. But how can I go? If I go, Lakshmi will be very unhappy. Because Lord Jagannath is king of the whole jug, or the, at least this place of Jagannath Puri. So Lord Jagannath, he is thinking the whole year, Lakshmi is quite engaged in cooking for me. And I am so busy giving darshan to my devotees. Even the night time, the demigods come and take darshan. So if I go to meet the gopis, Lakshmi will be unhappy. So I should do something. So that's where Jagannath plans that he doesn't want to see anyone for the next 15 days. On the pretext of sickness, Lord Jagannath doesn't allow anyone to come to meet him, but he spends those 15 days in privacy with Lakshmi Devi. So Lakshmi Devi is very happy. 15 days Lord Jagannath is in privacy with Lakshmi Devi and no one is there to disturb them. And Lakshmi Devi also prepares unique dishes which looks like medicines, but she prepares unique dishes what Lord Jagannath wants at that time. So Lord Jagannath in one sense internally then feigns sickness to give time to Lakshmi, because Lord Jagannath knows 15 days I give to Lakshmi, then when I go to gopis for 8 days, she will be able to manage that. So 15 days Lord Jagannath is with Lakshmi Devi, and after 15 days Lord Jagannath comes out on Rath Yatra and then he runs to Sundarachal, and for 8 to 9 days he stays with the gopis of Vrindavan. So this is the time of reciprocation of Lord Jagannath with the entire world, with Lakshmi Devi, with the gopis and all the devotees. And therefore you find that Jagannath Puri is thronged by so many devotees all over the year, but especially after Snan Yatra, then millions and millions of people come for Snan Yatra, for Netrotsav, for Rath Yatra, and Ulta Rath, and then Sunavesh, Adarapan, and all those festivals come where millions of followers, millions of devotees come to Lord Jagannath to take darshan. So this Snan Purnima, which happened yesterday, is a day when Lord Jagannath appeared. And Lord Jagannath personally spoke to Indradyumna Maharaj that I will appear on this day, so I want you to bathe me with special waters. So this Snan Purnima was personally dictated by Lord Jagannath to Indradyumna Maharaj. Lord Jagannath dictated two Utsavas directly to Indradyumna Maharaj, which are age-old, ancient Utsavas. One is this Snan Purnima, other is the Rath Yatra. So, Lord told Indradyumna Maharaj that somewhere in the southeast corner of this area, where you're going to build a temple for me, there is a well which is covered by sand. Go and dig that well. That well has all the holy rivers in it. What I want is, when you do a snan of mine, every year you should remove waters from that well. 108 gold pots, you bathe me, Balaram and Subhadra with those waters and Sudarshan Chakra as well. And in this way you celebrate my appearance day, and that we should call as Snan Purnima. And then Jagannath told Indradyumna Maharaj that after you bathe me, then what will happen? All my natural features will be changed, the colors will come off, and I don't want my devotees to see me in that way. So for 15 days you keep the darshan closed. So those 15 days is also called as Jwara Leela, or fever pastime of the Lord, or Anvasar. That time Lord Jagannath is undergoing a 15 days quarantine period. The quarantine period, 15 days is a bona fide, right? Number of days. I was wondering, quarantine, why 13, why not 12? So at least one good thing is Jagannath's pastime has connection with this quarantine 15 days. Quarantine. Jagannath is quarantined in 15 days. No one is seeing Jagannath. Only Daitapatis are serving him. After 5 days of Snan Purnima, one particular day comes when Lord Jagannath is bathed with a beautiful oil bath. That oil also is special because the preparation for that oil takes 1 year before. That means just exactly 1 year before, somewhere in Hira Panchami day. Now when Hira Panchami comes now, that day there is a mud called as Uriya mud. There are many mutts. One Udiya mutt, they start collecting special barks of a tree, special herbs and special flowers, Ketki, Mallika, Champa. They remove all the oils from that bark and flowers. They store in a very big pot 4 liters of oil, and they dig the ground, put the whole pot inside the ground, cover with the whole pot with the whole sand, and for 1 year the oil in the pot is kept inside, and the ground is heating the oil and making it ready. And exactly 5 days after Snan Purnima, they dig the ground, remove the oil, and that oil comes to the Anvasar area where Lord Jagannath Balaram Subhadra are there. And with that oil, special bath is given to all the deities of the Lord. So this is how detailed every leela of the Lord is there. So Lord's personally inaugurated 2 utsavas in Jagannath Puri. One is Snana Yatra, other is Rath Yatra. But Skanda Puran mentions there are 12 utsavas ranging through the whole year. So the explanation is given that as Lord Jagannath manifested his pastime to Indradyumna Maharaj, Lord Jagannath actually keeps manifesting his pastime and interacting with the devotee. And every time he interacts with his devotee, he himself starts a festival. So Skanda Puran mentions Puranic festivals, which are connection of Lord Jagannath with his devotees. And then later, after, even when Skanda Puran was written, even now also, We have so many explanations where Lord Jagannath's different festivals are manifested with his connection with his special devotees. So as of now, there are 108 main festivals which are there throughout the year, and 24 Upa Utsavs, small festivals which are there, which are very famous and well known. So we can see that how this beautiful understanding of Lord Jagannath's pastimes of Snan Purnima is mentioned here. We are having today the beautiful disappearance festival of Shyamanand Pandit. Now, Shyamanand Pandit has a very close connection with Jagannath Puri and the Jagannath culture. It is said that before Shyamanand Pandit came back from his training in Vrindavan by Jiva Goswami, there was a rampant destruction of the culture of Jagannath and the culture of spirituality in the whole of Odisha. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Jagannath Puri, the whole culture of Orissa had come and Gaudiya Vaishnava culture had sprung up. But after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared, eventually Prataparudra Maharaj, after he departed, then his son could not take care of the kingdom. Later the kingship fell to Pathans and other people, and they destroyed the temple of Jagannath. They stopped worship of Jagannath. The temple was kept closed. And at that time it is said that the contribution of reviving the culture of Odisha again was actually came into being because of 2 personalities. So historians mention that it was Shyamanand Pandit who came at that time and he revived the spiritual renaissance of this whole Odisha culture. It was also because of Man Singh, who was one of the generals in Akbar's court. He also came to Odisha and he establish a platform on which Shyamanand Pandit could preach. So what had happened is the Pathans were overruling the whole worship of Jagannath, and this came on the years of Man Singh. So Man Singh was a little disturbed and worried about the whole aspect of this. So he told King Akbar that he would like to go to Odisha and collect taxes on his behalf from these Pathans. So when he went there and stayed there, he came to know that these Pathan rulers were very much tyrant, and they were destroying devotees' culture, this culture, and also killing many devotees there. So Man Singh, with the permission of Akbar, took the whole charge of this area, defeated the Pathans, and then opened the Jagannath temple. And that was the time when Shyamanand Pandit came to Odisha from Vrindavan. And Shyamanand Pandit came to Jagannath Puri, then he travelled all over Odisha. He met disciples, great disciples like Rasikananda Prabhu, Damodar, Sher Khan became Chaitanya Das. So many great devotees Shyamanand Pandit made. And then he revived the culture of Vaishnavism, Gaudiya Vaishnavism in Odisha. So there's a beautiful pastime of how Shyamanand Pandit converted so many people into great devotees and Vaishnavas. But we'll come back to the disappearance pastimes now. Shyamanand Pandit was traveling to Braj and coming back to Odisha and preaching here. And one particular day, Shyamananda Pandit got the news of departure of his spiritual master, Hriday Chaitanya. And that time his heart was very much aggrieved, and as a result he became ill. So all the doctors came and gave him medicines and were trying to revive him, but he was feeling separation from his guru. He felt very uneasy to stay more in this material world without his guru's presence. But somehow that he continued to stay, and just then that time, just in a few days time, he came to know that his very dear disciple Damodar, he also left. And that was the time Shyamananda Pandit decided that now is time for his pastimes are over, and he immediately made Rasikananda Prabhu as his successor, and he told all his followers they should follow Rasikananda Prabhu and obey his command as the next commander of Gaudiya Vaishnavism there. And as Shyamananda Pandit was about to unfold his disappearance pastime, he came to this very beautiful place near Jaleshwar, which is there on the main line, Jaleshwar station. There is one small station called Amarda, and very close to them, that place, this place called Narsimhapur is there, where Uddanda Rai, who was a disciple of Shyamananda Pandit, would stay. He was a very big landlord. So in that Narsimhapur area, Shyamananda Pandit made his staying place. They built a beautiful hut for him, and Shyamananda Pandit created a Vrindavan, Prati Vrindavan, in that place. And there in that place, while staying, on this very day Shyamananda Pandit disappeared from his disappearance pastime. And that place, even now also, there is a beautiful samadhi of Shyamananda Pandit. So few years back, some of the devotees here got a chance to go to this place, and we are very happy to see the beautiful samadhi of Shyamananda Pandit. And what happened is, the pujari there showed us there was a paduka, the wooden sandals of Shyamananda Pandit. And he showed the sandal and said, "See this sandal." I said, "Yes, we saw this." The sandal was as if it was very old sandal. So this is not an old sandal. Every year we change the sandal. Every year we change the sandals. Every year we change the sandal because when you keep the sandal new, as the days go by, the sandals get worn out. Why? Because Shyamananda Pandit is here and performing his pastime, is wearing his padukas, and he travels in this area in Prati Vrindavan, and he keeps his sandal again and sits in this place. And that's why the sandals get worn out. And after 1 year, we change the sandal, take a new sandal. So immediately one of the devotees was traveling and they said, "Well, what do you do with the old sandal?" He said, "Well, whoever comes, we give them as a gift." So immediately then we decided to ask, "Where is the, can we get," because we calculated from the Vaishnava calendar that This tithi of Shyamananda Pandit was just a month away. So I remember when we went there, Mukund Chaitanya was traveling with us. So we told Mukund Chaitanya, "We are leaving. We can talk to this pujari and we can get this sandal of Shyamananda Pandit for our temple." And after 1 month, then we reminded Mukund Chaitanya, we went there, he talked to the pujaris, and the pujari gave that sandal of Shyamananda Pandit to Mukund Chaitanya, who later sent it to us. And we gave it to his Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. And his Holiness Radhanath Maharaj has kept it in one of our temples in Govardhan Eco Village. I guess maybe Shyam Sundar Temple, where Shyamananda Pandit's beautiful deities they stay. So this is the connection of Shyamananda Pandit Goswami with Jagannath, and Jagannath's connection with Dwarka, and we are in Dwarka here. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram.